Good morning. It is a pleasure to be here this morning. And you're looking mighty chipper this morning, if I might say. Well, I want to thank Pastor Andrews for the opportunity to preach this morning, and John Rossetti. It's always a privilege to preach the Word of God, and I'm excited about it this morning because I really am passionate about this topic. But before we get into our text this morning, which will be Romans chapter 8, I have a little story for you. Have you ever been confused or not understand something or someone? Have you ever interacted with someone and you're not exactly sure what they're saying to you? They're speaking to you, but you're not sure what the words mean or what they're saying? Well, I live outside of Greenwood, Delaware. I live about a half hour south of here. And if you don't know this, in Delaware, there's still a lot of nice little country stores off the beaten path. And they're real country stores. You can buy egg, milk, bread, small arms, a stick of dynamite or two if necessary. I mean, they're really country stores, and it's wonderful, and I like to frequent them when I can. And there's one by me. And I was going to take the boys crabbing a couple weeks ago, and I needed some supplies. I needed some crab nets. I use nets. I don't use the metal traps, but we use nets. And I needed a couple because the ones I had were getting a little old and worn, much like the user. So I went to this little country store, and I'm always intimidated when I go there because I always go after work, and I'm in my shirt and tie, and you know, then the cast of Duck Dynasty is usually behind the counter, and they look at me, and I, you know, oh, what's this city boy doing in our store kind of look, you know. So I go up to the counter because I can't find the crab nets, and I ask the guy, hey, I'm looking for some crab nets. Do you have any? And he said, how many you want? I said, what? I said, what? He said, how many you want? What are you saying to me? And he said to me, how many you want? And the guy next to him said, he's asking you how many you want. I said, oh, great. Give me two. Give me two. So, but we often find ourselves, that's the extent of the story. I've been telling that for weeks because I was so amused by it. But sometimes we are a little confused. We don't understand some things. And the same is true of some things in our Christian life. And one of the things we tend to not understand as thoroughly as we would like is the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it is impossible, brothers and sisters, to have victory in the Christian life if we don't understand some foundational principles of the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I don't set my standards high, so I'll tell you up front, I'm not going to teach you anything new today. You know, I'm not a guy who shoots for goals, so let's put it out there. I'm going to teach you stuff you already know today. But I want to remind you of something that is vital if we are going to live victorious Christian lives, and that is that there's power provided to us by the Holy Spirit, that unless we tap into that power, we will never live victorious Christian lives. So we're going to start in Romans chapter 8 this morning. And if you have your Bibles and want to turn there, if you don't have your, you have your pew Bibles in front of you, you can turn there to Romans chapter 8. And I want to warn you ahead of time, and Andy has been a wonderful, wonderful help this morning. I tend to, when I preach, use a lot of verses, and I don't expect you to turn to them. Andy will try to flash them up on the overhead as best he can as we go through, but just hunker down in Romans chapter 8 for now, and we will just listen to the verses as I reference them, all right? So I don't want you to be distracted. Romans chapter 8. And our focus this morning is the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, this is not an exhaustive look, but there's three powers of the Holy Spirit that I want to remind you of this morning. And I'm just going to start by reading Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace." Let's stop there, because Paul says something really vital to us in these verses in Romans chapter 8. And he's building off of what he said in Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, he builds a picture for us. He draws a picture for us of our lives in the flesh. Before we came to Christ, before we received the power of the Holy Spirit, we live lives that were ruled by our fleshly nature. And Paul paints this picture of us being prisoners, locked in a cell, ruled by the flesh. We could do no other than obey the commands of the flesh because we were prisoners to it. The Pharisees were called whited sepulchers, filled with dead men's bones, because they tried to please God through the flesh as prisoners. In that prison of that fleshly prison of sin and death, they were trying to please God, but they could not. Their efforts were futile because the Holy Spirit is the only one that can release us from that prison. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Now, when we read that, we often think that that is only a salvation passage. There is no longer any condemnation to hell. But Paul has a lot more meaning to that verse than we realize. What he's actually saying is that those who are in Christ Jesus are no longer condemned to live a life ruled by sin. What he's saying is that chapter 7, you're in a prison and you can't get out under your own power. You can't get out by following the law of Moses. The only way you can get out of that prison in which you are trapped is by the law of the Spirit. The only way you can get out of that prison is to put your faith in Jesus Christ, and at that point, you are no longer condemned to live a life ruled by sin, because those prison doors have been thrown wide open, and you have the ability to walk through those doors and no longer be ruled by sin and death. That's why Paul says, you are no longer condemned. You are no longer condemned to do that which displeases God. You are no longer condemned to do that which you don't want to do. You now have the freedom through the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome sin. And I ask you this morning, how many of you are still trapped in that prison cell being ruled by sin? I think if we were honest with ourselves, and we should be, a lot of us, more often than we would like, feel trapped by sin. Think of the sin that besets you in your life. Think of the sin that you deal with on a daily basis. Think of the sin that you struggle with. Well, I ask you, brothers and sisters, perhaps you have not taken advantage of that power that the Holy Spirit has given to you to be free from that prison of sin. You have not made the decision to exit that prison cell. Instead, you sit and look at the door wide open from the inside and say, "Oh, I wish I could overcome my sin. Perhaps one day I will." And the door stands wide open for you to walk through. The Holy Spirit, the first power, is He gives us an opportunity to have victory over sin, because the Holy Spirit is God inside of you. The Holy Spirit is the power of God resident inside of you. And I want to make sure I'm clear on what we're talking about, since I said we can't do a whole doctrinal treatise on the power of the Holy Spirit. When you become believers, what happens? You are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, aren't you? The Holy Spirit comes and resides in your life. He never leaves you. He will never leave you. He will take you through to that day of redemption. He is the seal that God places upon you that says you are His and you are no one else's. That is the Holy Spirit, and God put that Spirit inside of you. However, as we live our Christian life, once that seal is placed on us at the time of salvation, we have the opportunity to live a Spirit-filled life or to not live a Spirit-filled life. Now, sometimes the term filled can be misleading, can it? Let me ask you a question, and please, think about it. Can you be any more filled with the Holy Spirit than you are right now? No. No. We have as much Holy Spirit in us as we're ever going to have. Then what am I talking about? I'm talking about being controlled by the Holy Spirit, being controlled by the Spirit of God, living a life that honors Him, choosing to tap into that power, choosing to tap into that awesome power that resides in us. But the problem a lot of us have, the problem a lot of us fall into is not tapping into that power. All right. We're going to move on to the second power of the Holy Spirit. I just looked up at the clock and I cannot believe that it's 11:45 already. Wow. Wow. So I better start talking fast, all right? Stop looking at the clock. All right. The second power that we have through the Holy Spirit is the power of life. And if we don't understand the power that we have, we will not be victorious. And John, you're not focusing on the power of tongues or the power of healing or the power of prophecy. These are sign gifts. This is the power to live a holy life. They were sign gifts. If you're seeking those things to live a holy life, you're not going to be successful. The Holy Spirit is the giver of life. Romans 8, verse 9 through 17. Let me read that for you. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Now listen to this, verse 11. Listen very closely. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Did you hear that? The same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that raised Jesus from the dead is the very Spirit that dwells in you and gives you life. The life that you have is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. We find in the Bible that whenever there was a creative work done by the Father or the Son, it's explained to us in other verses that the agent by which that life or creative work was done was through the Holy Spirit, wasn't it? Who was hovering over the face of the deep in Genesis chapter 1? It was the Holy Spirit. Who hovered over Mary and caused her to conceive the Christ? It was the Holy Spirit who brought that life into being. What did he tell? What did Jesus tell Nicodemus? Jesus told Nicodemus that in order to have life, to be born again, you must be born of water and of the Spirit, because the Spirit is the giver of life. Psalm 104:30 says, "When you send your Spirit, Lord, they," meaning we, "life is created." God, when you send your Spirit, life is created. Job 33:4, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life." John 6, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe." The Spirit is life. He is the giver of life. And unless we come to grips with that is the mechanism through which God gives life, and we tap into that power, we will not have victorious Christian lives. We have to realize the power that dwells within us. It's the power that raised Christ from the dead and dwells within you and I. I gave the analogy in the first service that when I first learned how to jumpstart a car battery, I was frightened. Why was I frightened? Because I didn't know if I was going to hook those little metal clamps upright and I wouldn't get a shock because I was afraid of the power of that car battery. We need to treat the power of the Holy Spirit so much more, with so much more respect than that. The power is so much greater. Why don't we come to the Holy Spirit within us with that kind of reverence, with that kind of power? Because we cannot overcome sin unless we understand that the Spirit has life, and it's only through being filled with the obedience to the Spirit that we can rid ourselves of a sinful lifestyle. I want to do an object lesson for you, and I'm going to need a youthful audience member. I see a young brother falling asleep there in the green shirt. Come up here, young brother. Come up here. Now, obviously, I've never met this boy before. I don't know him. Though I have raised him for the last 12 years, right? And I'm going to give him a challenge. You ready, stranger? There really is nobody stranger than this one, I have to tell you. All right, do you see this jar? This was once filled with succulent caramel ice cream topping. And I had no problems emptying the jar. I want you to know that. I want you to be aware of that. Now it's filled with air. Now what I'd like you to do, almost handsome little fellow, is take that jar. I want you to empty that jar of the air that's in it. Go ahead. Empty the jar of the air that's in it. We'll all wait for you. All right. Are you ready to put that cap back on and show us your jar empty of air? Now, has the obstinate little fellow been successful, audience? Has he been successful? No. There's still air in here. But I tell you what I'm going to do. Since I'm learning to like you, I'm going to give you a tool. Now take the air out of that jar. Go ahead, little fella. I'll stand over here so as not to be injured by your clever machinations. You need help? Seal her back up. You don't want the air getting back in. Ah, excellent. I think we got a little shirt in there. All right, now let's look at the results. An air-free jar? No, unfortunately not an air-free jar. Thank you for your help, little fella. Go ahead and sit back down. It is not an air-free jar. Why is it not an air-free jar? Because you can't suck air out of this container in that fashion and have it be empty of air. One way I might empty this jar of air is by... filling it up with this nice fresh water. Is that empty of air? Now, scientists, don't get with the oxygen thing, all right? Because I'm going to come out there and I'm just going to have at you if you do that. But for our object lesson, scientists, this is relatively empty of air now, isn't it? There's a point I'm trying to make. If we don't realize that we have new life, we are new creatures, and we are free from the prison of sin and the reign and rule of sin. If we continue to live our life by trying to suck sin out of our lives, by trying to do it by our own mechanisms, by our own effort, we will never get the sin out of our fleshly bodies. What we have to do in order to remove sin from our life is to pour the Holy Spirit into it. What does that mean? That means instead of trying to stop myself from doing evil, I pour into it the fruit of the Spirit. I do good. I love. I fill my life with grace and peace and forgiveness and love and the beautiful things of the Lord. I fill my vessel with these things, and as the Spirit gains more and more control of me, the air gets pushed out, and that air is the sin. So I don't try to suck out the sin. I'm not a Pharisee. I'm not a whited sepulcher on the outside and full of dead men's bones. I'm filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm letting Him control me to the point where all of the sin is just being washed away. Washed away. Spirit gives me life. That's power number two. Part of power number two is that He gives me life more abundant than I could possibly ever expect or utilize. He gives me water, flowing water. He gives me rivers of living water. John 7, verse 37 says, "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water.'" What are these living waters, Jesus? Explain to us. "But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive." The rivers of living water that are expected to flow from you and I are the rivers and waters of the Holy Spirit that are to flow from believers, that are to flow from us. Well, what are the rivers and waters of the Holy Spirit? They are the fruits of the Spirit. They are the character of God that is supposed to flow from us. And we are supposed to let them flow. Well, John, what do you mean, let them flow? Well, if I kept pouring that water into that jar, it would overflow. We need to let them flow. But as soon as I put the lid on the jar, the flow would stop. How do we stop the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives? By trying to accomplish things on our own. By giving in to our sin nature. By going after the pursuits of our eyes, the lusts of our eyes, the desires of our hearts that do not align with God. How do we stop that flow? Well, if we see something coming down the stream, let's say, oh, that person needs forgiveness in my life. And the Holy Spirit is flowing along and saying, well, you need to forgive that person, John. You need to forgive that person because Christ is all about forgiveness. And then I say, no, I will not forgive them. And I put that block of sin in the midst of the rivers of living water. And I keep doing that day after day. I say, no, I will not forgive. No, I will not love. No, I will not serve. No, I will not do the things that God is calling me to do. Pretty soon, I built a dam. And the rivers of living water will not flow if I build a dam. Isaiah 44, verse 1 says, but now listen, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb. Who will help you? Oh, do not fear, O Jacob, my servant. For I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. John 7, he said, the woman at the well said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with at the end, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become to him a well of water springing up to eternal life. We are supposed to be people from whom the Holy Spirit of God flows continuously. And I ask you folks this morning, I ask myself this morning, I ask myself as I was preparing this message, when people identify me, do they say, there's a man from whom the rivers of God are flowing on a daily basis? Is there a man who is flowing with love and mercy and peace and grace? You and I need to ask ourselves that, because frankly, in the Christian world today, there's a lot of dryness. A lot of our fields are dry, and we're wanting more, and we're crying out to God for more of Him. And He says, I've given you all of me that you need. Why don't you take advantage of what you have? And all we keep doing is crying out for more because we say we're so parched. He says, use what you have. Use the power that you have. When Jesus was on the cross, one of his last words were what? I thirst. Why? Why? Because rivers of living water had stopped flowing from him, because he was about to take the wrath of God the Father, and God the Father had withdrawn his spirit from Christ. That was so hard about the cross, is when God turned his back on the Son. And the Son said, I thirst for those rivers of living water that once flowed from me. Because he knew what was coming. The curse of the Father because of the sins of you and I. Ask yourself, is it flowing or is there a dam? Is there a dam that you've built and it's causing dryness in your life? And the only way to overcome that dryness is to let the waters flow again. Third power, and I'll try to move quickly here, is the power of the presence. Romans chapter 8. You have not received a spirit of slavery, it says in verse 15, leading to fear again. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit, and he says to us, he says to you and I, hey, do you know that you are a child of God? That you were made to be like him? The Bible says that we are one day going to be face to face with Christ, and who he is, we will be like in character. We will be like him. The Holy Spirit tells us that if we listen. He says to us, you have the presence of God in you, and not just the presence of God, but you have the presence of God as Father, Abba Father in you, and you need to know that if you want to have the power of God in your life. You need to know who you are. You're no longer a prisoner. You've been given new life, and you have been given the presence of God, and you are now a member of his family. And there's power in that. There's power in living with that knowledge. Psalm 51 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take away your Holy Spirit from me. If you're dry this morning, brothers and sisters, if your land is barren and you're dry and you're looking for the rain, what has been taken from you is the Holy Spirit. But God didn't take him from you. The Holy Spirit is there. You have neglected him. You have neglected the power of the Spirit in your life. You have chosen not to let the rivers of living water flow. How do we take hold of this power? How do we take hold of the power of the Holy Spirit? First thing we have to do is believe. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 4 says, therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We have to believe that the best way is God's way. And frankly, myself and a lot of us in this room are not there yet. We're not 100% buying into God's way. I teach a Sunday school class here, and we looked at Psalm 1 a few weeks ago, and everybody has a choice. You can follow the path of righteousness, or you can follow the path of wickedness. Righteousness, you're going to plant yourself by the waters of God. You're going to plant yourself by the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. You're going to let your roots grow deep because you buy into everything that God has told you and has for you. The other path is one that looks at the world and says, I want everything in the world. I want all the riches of the world. I want all the good things they have to offer. I want to be a Christian, but I don't want to read those passages about discipleship and giving up. I want to live in both worlds. And when we try to live in both worlds, we please no one, not even ourselves. We become dry, dead men's bones. We have to believe that God's way is the right way. There was a girl who, I don't even remember the whole story, so it's probably not 100% accurate, but the gist of the story is true. A young high school teenage girl, every summer she would work to send money to a mission in Haiti, an orphan mission in Haiti, and she would work hard. I believe it was a Chick-fil-A where all Christians work. And she would save all her money, and at the end of the summer she would send the money to Haiti. Well, at the end of her high school career, her parents sat her down and said, hey, honey, it's time you get serious now about life. You need to start saving your money because you're going off to college. They sat her down and said, honey, it's now time to get serious about your life. You see any problem with that? She was serious about her life. She was serious about the rivers of flowing water, living water that flowed from her. She was pouring her life into these children in Haiti. And her parents looked at that and said, it's okay for a time, but when we get real about life, we got to think about worldly things. We are trapped in that deception. We are trapped in that deception that we got to live for the world. We got to live for the things of this world and the things of God and the things of Christ and the sacrifices that they might not require. We have little time for that. That's why the rivers dry up and we cry out, I'm thirsty. Yield. We have to yield to the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. We have to yield to him. Like I said earlier, we have to let the fruits of the Spirit rush through our lives, flow from our lives, peace, love, all those things, grace, all those things, we have to let them flow. And it's a hard decision. It says we have to walk by the Spirit. We have to walk by the Spirit. It's like an older person or an injured person who might use a cane. The Bible says we have to walk by leaning on the Spirit. He is our walker. He is our help to walk down this path. We have to lean on him. And when we come to a decision, a day living by the Spirit is a day-to-day decision process. Do I forgive today? Do I love today? Do I pray today? Am I in the Word today? When you walk by the Spirit, it's a step-by-step process. Finally, how do you tap into this power of the Spirit, the real power of the Spirit? You rest in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, the last couple of verses say that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing in this universe, it says, can separate us from the love of God. So if you make the sacrifice and say, I'm going to walk after God, don't let anything else bother you. Don't let anybody's ridicule saying that you're a fool for spending your money on the works of God or giving your hands or your feet to the work of God or giving your prayers and tears to the work of God or teaching your children to serve God. Don't let anybody stress you out about that. Don't let anybody stress you out about being a forgiving person or a gracious person, because at the end of the day, all that matters is you are loved by God and can rest in him. All that matters is that you are loved by him. And if it causes persecution for the Spirit of God to flow from you, then be persecuted, but always go home to Daddy and say, it's good to be home because I know here I am loved. There I am not. Here I am. But this is the important place to be, in the shadow of your wings, in the precious arms of Jesus. And we need to tap into this power. I want to close this morning by asking you, if you are in a dry place today, hey, we can be honest. We are realistic people. There are sins that are trapping many of you: pornography, lust, drugs, prescription drugs, hate, hearts of unforgiveness, deep, deep depressions. And I'm not talking about medical conditions. Please don't come to me afterwards and say, I understand that. But let the Spirit speak to you this morning. What is causing the dryness in your life? What worldly attitude is drying up the ground that the Holy Spirit wants to so flood with His water and make things grow? What is it this morning that's holding you back? I can tell you, the Lord spoke to me in the first service. I need to forgive someone today. He brought that person to my mind, the image, the incident. I need to call that person today and reconcile a relationship in order to let the rivers flow again. I need to remove that stone from my river. Which one do you need to move to let those rivers flow again? So as we pray this morning, cry out to the Spirit in your heart. Ask Him to fill your life with the richness of His love and His abundant waters. Realize that you've been freed from the prison of sin, you've been given new life, and you've entered into His presence as sons and daughters of God. And realize and ask Him for forgiveness that you forgot how powerful that is to know who you are and at what price it costs to get you there. And if there's anything that you have to do, do it today. If it's to tell somebody I'm sorry, tell them I'm sorry. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Lord, the doors of this church should be bursting with the rivers of life, with the fruits of the Spirit. Lord, may it be. May it be so. May all of our lives be filled with the fruits of the Spirit and the power, Lord, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Lord, hear our cries this morning that we are thirsty. We thirst. Because the presence of God, we've put it away. We've hid it in our hearts somewhere. We need to let it out. Forgive us, Father, our sins. And thank You for never forsaking us and loving us beyond all that we can imagine. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have yourself a good day.